Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Force. If it doesn't work, you're just not using enough. You're listening to Soft Web Radio, Special Operations Military News, and straight talk with the guys in the community.
Hey, welcome back to Soft Rep Radio. I am your host, Rad, and I have a very cool conversation to have today. But before I get into who my guest is, I want to remind you to continue supporting our merch shop, right? Softrep.com. Check out the merch store, all the branded goods that are in there. There's coffee mugs. It's Christmas time. Pick something up, send it to a loved one, and tell them Rad sent you, right? Keep the fireplace on. And then also, you know, we have that book club. It's softrep.com/book-club. We're really pushing it. Also join our email list to get updates and all sorts of tips and tricks on, you know, how to stay in the know with softrep.com. Now, someone reached out to me named Lily, and she's like, Rad, we need to get Ben on. And I have Ben Williams today from Exion Technologies, who's going to talk to us about autonomous drones, the AI world, how, you know, he's using his company's capabilities to try to solve problems like finding people who are missing. For example, our friend Lily, that is a mutual acquaintance, she lived in Acapulco. She's very familiar with the area. And just recently, less than about a month ago from filming this in October timeframe, they were hit with a category, 4 or 5 hurricane, right?
Yeah. So a serious problem with, you know, with a huge storm destroyed tons of infrastructure, you know, a place where, there was a large tourist base and, you know, a lot of sort of varied kind of buildings and just utter destruction, lots of stuff destroyed, and a real problem for search and rescue crews that are going into an area where there was some regulation around, you know, resiliency for natural disasters, but probably not as much as might be used to in the United States, for instance, or Northern or Western Europe, that sort of thing. So you're in an area where it's not, you know, it's not a really, really easy and established process for search and rescue and medical response, disaster response, et cetera. So you have a lot of folks going in. You have international workers. You have domestic and regional workers that are trying to come in and help. But the infrastructure not being in place, the tools not being standardized, So there's a lot of problems with being able to go in and help, even if the help is available, even if the money or the resources are available. It's hard to operate in those kind of worlds. And, you know, of course, that there's a lot of similarities to government defense scenarios where you are operating often in areas where you don't have the infrastructure. You have to bring stuff along with you. Similar even to some of the other commercial worlds that we operate in, which are like remote industrial scenarios where you can't depend on super high bandwidth communications, really well-established GPS or comms networks, you know, dependable roads, all that sort of thing. You kind of have to be a little bit more flexible with the environments. So
now, difficult now with your company, right? And you're back. This is not your first time on SoftRep Radio. So I feel like I have the relationship with you. Just to give you a little background to my listener who may not have saw our previous episode, you know, your former Navy surface warfare. Tell us a little bit about your Navy background.
Sure. So I was what's called a surface warfare officer, which is an unrestricted line role. I was on a surface ship, cruiser, Bunker Hill, for my first tour. And this was just post 9/11. So as part of the all the work that went into going into Iraq that time around, I ran small boat teams, ran communications division, and a bunch of battle group stuff there as well. Then followed on with nuke school and running the a portion of the reactor plant on an aircraft carrier. After that. So
no kidding. You were the guy, you were Scotty in the engines. You're like, I'm giving her all she's got.
Yep. Accent no, and everything.
No kidding, huh? I mean, like, yeah. I know I've talked to you, but that's pretty cool to rethink about mm-hmm. that. You are like, I'm giving her all yeah. she's got. It's like, you know, half stern full. You're like, sir, it's nuclear. Oh, yeah. Yep. It's in a core. Yeah. Is that, right. is wanna- that, I'm, yeah, is it flooded with water and all that to keep it all probably top secret?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's part of the nuclear plant is that mm-hmm. you have water that sort of cools the reactor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's actually an interesting parallel here is that when I was on my second deployment with the aircraft carrier, we actually did a disaster response. I think it was for Hurricane Katrina. And so we were anchored not far off of the coast in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
And all of the cooling water that comes into the plant to cool down the reactor and, you know, keep all the equipment running, kept getting clogged with debris that was coming down the river from all the wreckage and the floods. And so we had to sort of continuously shut down parts of those water intakes, clear the debris, and then restart those systems. And, you know, for an aircraft carrier used to operating out in the middle of the ocean, you know, in thousands of feet of water, not usually a problem. And right. so it was a really interesting transition where we were flying, you know, 24/7 flights, helicopters in to do resupply and, you know, drop fresh water and food and, you know, bring medics and all that kind of
like
stuff.
Into the districts and the wards of like New Orleans exactly. and everything where it was like completely the levees broke, you know, that was right. a huge disaster. Right. And, that's crazy. And you were just right. You were involved in that, you know, a humanitarian effort from the Navy. Yep. Right. And here we are talking about more humanitarian efforts. And I mean, you're right. autonomous, right? So you can literally mm-hmm. back then, if you had autonomous capabilities like you mm-hmm. do today, now you can go into Acapulco or you can map out the mm-hmm. area, right? And try to see.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so this is a great example, right? Is like if you're going in fresh to a disaster zone, mm-hmm. you might have the old map of the downtown or, you know, of a facility like right. a resort or something like that, right? So you go, I know what it used to look like, mm-hmm. but the only thing I know for sure is that it doesn't look like that now because, you know, things have collapsed. There's roads that might not be passable. You don't know if any of the running water is still in play or if it's still running, but it's, you know, contaminated water now, or, you know, is power still going in? Are we able to receive any mm-hmm. radio or telephone or, you know, are there cell networks that are still in play or has power knocked all those out as well?
Is the major pole still standing, you know, that we need to look exactly. at that has everything on it? So you can just get in there right. and just look and say, okay, that's up. Well, then where's exactly. the plug unplugged at and try to figure this situation right. out?
And so in these contexts, like that first sort of look at what the situation is on the ground is mm-hmm. so important because that impacts all of your planning going forward, right? You can't deploy fresh water or doctors or rescuers or anything unless you get some sense of what's going on. So in this context, if you have autonomous systems that you can just deploy and say, go map whatever you can find, give me the structural model from LiDAR and the visual and infrared from cameras that are on there. Mm-hmm. You can come back and you say, all right, my best guess is, you know, road X is clear enough that we can get rescue vehicles in, but there's rubble where there used to be these three buildings. We're getting some heat signatures, so maybe there's survivors in this area. You know, focus your efforts in this area first. And then as a result of that, you get like a good sense for how to operate.
How does the Mexican government, they invite you in, come take care of this? Is this like something that, are they okay with flying drones in their hood?
It's a good question, right? Like every place is different. So even within the U.S., it gets a little complicated because mm-hmm. you have overlapping, fiefdoms in a sense, right? You have each state that can basically get access to federal resources if they declare a disaster, and then they get access to federal funding that's sort of set aside for it. You have FEMA, right, that will come in, but only if they're asked, right? They don't just sort of drop in no matter what. So local law enforcement, local disaster response has the first sort of coverage. And the further we get from the U.S., the more difficult it is to know that you're operating, with the right folks. So, Mexico, there's a lot of familiarity. We do a lot of joint work as a country with Mexico. Yes. Obviously, it's, a neighbor to the south. So it's a little bit clearer there, but it's still a lot of figuring out how to coordinate successfully, right? Plus, there's a language barrier, Spanish, their primary language, English, primary language here, lots of overlap, but still there's the challenges in how do you coordinate successfully. And so in a lot of cases, what you have is you get in there and then you get, equipment and money and resources in play. And then it's trying to figure out who does what first and coordinating it. So getting information is so much more important than getting like material in the early steps of that.
Right. It's almost like, the cart before the horse. Right. Everybody wants to go in with the brick and mortar, but it's like, what are you going in with brick and mortar for?
Right.
So it's like having all that stuff, but you might not need it all. You just need to get in there and maybe move the trees. Exactly. And there's the building that the trees have fallen in front of versus rebuilding. Right. I totally am all for, using it in a healthy, manageable way. I also know that what we're talking about can be possibly taken and, turned into opposite, right? I've seen Terminator now, right? Even though I'm 46, I saw it this year for the Terminator 1 with my wife and my kids. Because I grew up in the 80s wanting Rambo more than Schwarzenegger. No offense.
Right.
Okay. If either of them want to come on the show, let me know. But I finally saw Terminator and I'm like, you're only as good as the people who program them. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's true.
John Connor, right? So are you creating Skynet? Are you not creating Skynet? What is your role in the world here? Can we hear just straight from you? Because you're the COO, right?
That's right. Yeah. So, we've actually focused very explicitly on a mode of autonomy here that is focused on self-contained elements. So we're not trying to sort of broadly network and deploy, an entire sort of net of independent AIs here. But these are dedicated individual units that are specifically focused on doing exploration or doing information gathering. So we are not in the business of, for instance, delivering kinetics. We don't do that work even with the DoD. We focus on information gathering and trying to remove people from difficult or dangerous environments. That's sort of our charter as a company. Mm-hmm. And so all of our work is focused around that same kind of thing, whether it's civil, defense, commercial, industrial, search and rescue. All of these things revolve around the same basic idea, which is get as much information as quickly as possible. Make sure that you have the right knowledge before you put people in harm's way.
That's right. Recon. I got a friend who's about 20 something years old. He's going through the academy at U.S. Air Force for a pilot. And he's like, oh, sweet. What are you going to fly? He's like, drones. I was like, of course.
Yep. Yeah.
I was like, of course. Not the A-10, not the F-35, any of its configurations, but the drones. Yeah. Okay. And I was like, of course, in a flight suit. Flight gloves, okay, sitting there with a big gulp, all right?
Right.
He can literally take a leak. He can get up and go probably take a leak, and someone can take over the controls for him. You can't do that in a real aircraft, All these things that, are the smallest detail that matters on a mission,
right?
Whether you're doing recovery or, defense of your nation or whatever the case may be with it. Mm-hmm. A pilot has to fly that.
That's right.
Right. And I call that Snowpiercer. The human element always has to be involved with the machine. Right. Right? And here we are. You're creating something autonomous that has human element where it's programmed.
Right.
And for my listener, and correct me if I'm wrong, autonomous is like a boomerang. I could send it out there with its coordinates, and then I could coordinate it to do its job, which is map for 24 hours, and then it comes back home to me with all the information.
In general, that's exactly right. So what we focus on is the implementation of what we call level 4 autonomy, which is you do not have to do the sort of minutiae of mission planning. Instead, you give it a high-level mission objective. You say, within this bounding box, explore whatever you can, come back with the best information model you can find. And then, you know, it will decide its own safe flight corridors. It will avoid people and objects and wires and rebar and whatever, find its way back home. And then you get all this information to make better decisions with.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
My goodness, it's just going to be like a little hummingbird that's just like moving around all these little things around like, oh, rebar, I don't want that. Got to go over this. It's just going to be like at the same time mapping, oh, the rebar is right there. And all the information, right? And so there's some cool sensors out there that help find people that are like in mines that are collapsed and whatnot. I can only imagine sending like a drone into a mine, you know, in this day and age to be able to see if they can get through, you know, to see what's going on. I don't know, man. That's so crazy.
Yeah. I mean, we've been used, I'm not allowed to share the exact location, but we participated in a mine collapse emergency reaction where we overnighted a system to another continent. We got on the phone for 30 minutes and just gave them quick training. And then they went underground and they explored a whole section of the mine where a tunnel had collapsed down into the next level down, and very dangerous environment. You know, they were, you know, worried about making any progress towards it. It would have taken probably a week or two to sort of progress into the area that had collapsed. But with these kind of systems, they did one sort of test flight up to the area and then one exploration volume. And within an hour, they had a full model of the whole collapsed area. So they saved, you know, probably a week or two of time trying to access that environment. So
and also lives, you know, you're not risking someone having to low crawl into there to try to like although there was nothing that could quite replace the human touch and feel of something, right? Of course. Mm-hmm. But I think that you're 99% the next best bet.
Right. Yeah. Right. And it makes people more effective too, right? If they're going into an area, better to have at least a sense for what's going on. You know the areas that are definitely dangerous, and almost definitely safe, so that you can kind of weigh the differences between everything.
It's basically armor, right? You have a knight in shining armor who goes into battle and he still has all these open areas to be stabbed, but he feels like he's going to do it all. Okay. And so that's kind of what the drone gives its operator and its team is like, here's your armor on. Feel free to go ahead and be valiant and go ahead with the drone. And then you can follow in behind it, you know, to take you care of its deed. It's like its armor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like mental armor. Like an EOD robot for the robot guy, you know? He's like, hey, I got a robot. I'm going to look inside this room real quick. I mean,
Well, knowledge is safety in this context, right? Better than
100%. And, you know, I'm not saying that robots are going to fight the wars, but I think the current president did say he's not afraid of a gunshot starting a war. It's a keystroke.
Yeah.
You know,
that'd be right.
You know, he's like, that's if everybody sit behind these keystrokes.
Well, and I mean, that is like, you know, in the grand scheme of robotics in sort of conflict, like that is a critical element that, you know, all of the countries in the world are going to have to really figure out how they want to interact there, right? Because it's one layer removed. When you don't have people interacting directly, you reduce that sort of empathic response of like, this is a person that I'm going against versus I see a thing on a screen and that's like layers removed from the impact.
Like, let's think about I think it's World War One, World War Two. You know, they had a quiet Christmas in the trenches because they all were like singing to each other because...
Yeah.
They all had moms and dads at some point in their life that loved them and taught them how to love Christmas and love each other. And here they are fighting each other. I don't see, you know, T-1000 and T-2000 singing in harmony together. It's just going to be complete like wasteland of like, you know, until one is gone. And then you wanted me to build a perfect world, right? Yeah. Get him, Tron. Get him. You're like, wait, but I'm the creator. I don't know if you get my references, but I hope so,
I do.
Bro.
I watched both of those. And,
man, you know.
Fascinating movies.
So true, though. It's like, hey, you made me, right? Yeah.
Right.
To be the best, right? It's going to have to get you out of the way now, though.
Right.
Right? Sorry. Holy cow. So with Exian Technologies, you know, is that something that you would... Is there a consumer market for that, like a regular consumer versus just like such a, we need it for search and rescue? Is there something that's going to be, you know, applicable to the daily lives of us here as just regular civilians without it or with it?
Probably not in the short run. I mean, our systems are more sort of industrial scale, industrial usage, right? They're not, I mean, you could buy them, I guess, in theory as a consumer, but most people don't have, you know, $100,000 laying around to make those purchases. And so most of the time we are useful for industrial scale enterprises that see huge value from, you know, increased speed to decision making, removing people from dangerous environments, and being able to digitize the sort of physical industry. And so the consumer side really isn't an area we've put any time or effort into as a result of that. In theory, you probably could. I mean, you see folks like Skydio that gave that a run and then sort of gave it up recently. You know, they focused instead on purely enterprise and defense. And that probably is because there's not enough demand in the market, plus paired with the fact that DJI has just been building very high quality products.
Which they have.
Which they have.
And they've been doing it for a while now. So they have like a little skin in the game. And, you know, I'm still waiting for this thing that was supposed to come out during the COVID TikTok social media thing. It's like buy it now where you hook it onto your arm and then it follows you while you snowboard, right?
Pretty slick,
or any type of those, like say you're rock climbing, right? And it's just like gonna go up with you or rappelling, whatever. It just is like a pet above you, following you, right?
I
want one. Don't remember what it is, but you know, that's what I was thinking. Maybe there's something in the consumer market, you know, for that type of a thing. But, you know, holy cow, dude, it's a huge industry now that I think about it.
Yeah, it is. Well, and I think what you're going to see is more and more of the physical industries adopting elements here, right? Like we got our start in the drone space, but we do ground robotics as well. And we see a large uptick in, you know, factory floors and manufacturing and logistics and warehousing, all of these areas where, you know, there's a viable business running there, but it's a physical business.
Right.
And it's hard to get digital information about even things that you own, like your warehouses, still hard to digitize. And so as you get better and better at automating and making autonomous the systems that gather that data, mm-hmm. all of a sudden it goes from being an expensive one-off to something where you have a couple dozen robots gathering information all the time. And all of a sudden you've got a full up-to-date digital representation of your whole physical built environment. And that changes the game in terms of the decisions you can make, the tools you use, and even how you staff that place. Like right. It makes you so much more efficient. You probably don't have any less people, but they're much more productive as individuals.
And maybe someone doesn't have to do that dangerous aspect of the situation anymore because you figured out a way to do it without it, but they're still like overseeing the project. They haven't lost their job.
Exactly.
You know, you're just incorporating this into their payroll so that they feel like you're feeding them pizza.
That's right.
You feed your troops, they're going to fight for you. That kind of attitude. It's like you put a little bit into the staff's needs and they're going to be like, hey, man, why would I go anywhere else? This guy, they supply us with the right tools. We have the information that comes to help us. The guys across the street are still like, you know, using a pick and an axe to do this.
Yeah.
It's like
100%.
Now, oh, I had a thought here. It was kind of kooky, but I don't remember it. I was thinking about what about like, hold on. It's all about these drones because there's so many of them. It's like, I don't even know, bro. There's like photography. I got guys that are like doing movies with drones, big, huge, heavy duty drones, man.
Yeah.
Oh, AI. Here's my question about AI to you. Podcasts and things like that are starting to go AI and, you know, they're trying to say, hey, what if we had, you know, somebody speak on modern terms, but they're from like, you know, the 1800s and you get this like classy voice talking about like Black Hawk Down, right? You're like, okay, hey, Billy Kidd's telling about Black Hawk Down, AI, it's all AI.
Right.
I get how entertaining that is, right? Mm-hmm. However, when does AI talking to AI only become just AI talking to AI and all information is just computer generated because it can't, it's not getting any, am I making sense?
Yeah. Let me see if I'm summarizing correctly.
Sure.
Like you're saying at a certain point when you don't have humans in that conversation anymore and it's just two AIs sort of talking to each other, then you may get further and further off the reservation where it becomes less relevant for people as consumers or participants maybe. Right. Yeah.
Yep.
So it is a really good question. And that actually is one of the underlying questions that a lot of the new like LLM sort of GPT style AI companies are really trying to tackle now is, you know, how do you accelerate the process of training those machine learning models quickly and cost effectively without having to train it on real world data, which is by itself very imperfect. Like, you know, all of the chatbots that are trained on, you know, Twitter data sets or, you know, they end up just being like terrible humans. Like equivalents, right? Because they're taking the worst impulses of people on social media and going, so this is a person?
Like, no, right, exactly. That. It's like create this image of what this is. And then they go and pull all that data from what it's been fed.
Right.
Right. And if AI is only feeding AI, you know, and that human interaction starts to go because people do want to, you know, use it and bring it in. And, you know, they could have, you know, major news outlets probably use ChatGPT to write articles.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and this AI is just mashing it all up. And if all AI is I just think that the interaction of the human element always has the Snowpiercer. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, I think the biggest worry, in my view, is where you have state independent actors, like, you know, sort of the equivalent of terror organizations, but folks that are saying, I don't care what the impacts are. I'm just trying to affect this negative outcome for a group. And,
correct.
You know, this was popularized in the last election where there was a lot of paid disinformation from North Korea, Russia, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. But as you get
America,
and as you get further into that world, then the AI models accelerate the ability for what the intelligence community would call an asymmetric threat. Right. It's a single individual that can have large impact by driving these sort of negative conversations. And so AI and especially LLMs have a huge outsized impact there. And that's what worries me the most is, you know, there's no regulation for that and there couldn't be because they, you know, are outside of that sort of category. Right. So then what happens with that? And unless we can figure out a way to sort of bypass that or to evaluate or, you know, get in front of that, you know, we as citizens and individuals are in a bad place to kind of evaluate all that stuff.
So, I don't even think this conversation that you and I are having is really happening.
Yeah.
You know, this is something that if you're listening right now to our show, you're hearing stuff that nobody's really talking about around the dinner table. Okay. And because nobody's really thinking like, oh, this is happening, but it is.
Yep.
Very much so. You're going to like conferences and you're seeing like, you know, vendors who are just probably just flourishing and trying to like say, buy our thing, buy our thing. You need this thing, you know? This little screw to go into all your AI stuff. You need this little bolt, you know, because it's space age stuff, whatever. Mm-hmm. Dang, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
It is wild. It is. And that's the consumer market show. Do you guys go to CES? Is that what you guys do? How do you, may I?
Yeah, I mean, we will be at CES this year. We are more in the sort of market specific survey and geospatial and mining sort of industrial shows where you have other vendors and customers that are looking for very specific sort of sets of solutions. And in that world, you know, those are great conversations to have because it's often people who have very specific problems and we can listen to them. And that's, you know, the fundamental product building, right? Is like listen, learn, understand what their existing process is, what's bad about it, and how we might be able to help them out. And so those conversations and having them sort of centralized is great. That's a big opportunity for us and helps us, you know, guide product development. And, you know, hopefully we sell systems as a result of that as well. But it all is linked to better understanding of the problems people are facing in their, in their operating scenario. Right.
Right. Right. And like, maybe how can you come together to like solve problems versus cause problems?
That's right.
Yeah. 100%. No, I love that. I love your, I'm sure you have think tanks and you're involved in all sorts of stuff that is just outside the box. Typically.
We try. Right?
Six Sigma this, bro. Okay. It's like, you better Six Sigma this autonomous drone, man. It's like, word with math, math with words. Let me figure this out. Blades, props, camera.
Yep. Put it all together.
Yes, exactly. Right. Wow. That's really neat, dude. Now, now, as a young man growing up, before you went in the Navy, did you think you were going to be working in such futuristic stuff? Or were you like, I'm going to be, you know, full-time Navy?
Yeah. I mean, I liked the categories. I don't know that I really thought I would be able to do them all. For a bit, I probably was like, you know, in my rebellion phase, I probably was like, I want to go live in the woods and write angry poetry or something. But, you know, then, you know, we all go through our own version of that. But then, you know, later on, I was like, you know, really, really dig on the idea of service. I was a big fan of Robert Heinlein, and he wrote a particular book called Starship Troopers, which was made into this sort of oddball over the top movie. But he actually wrote that book around the concept of service and citizenship and, you know, whether you deserve citizenship through birthright or through service, which is a really, really interesting philosophical question and one that is incredibly contentious all over the US included. And my take on it was basically that, you know, white male born in New England and, you know, at a time when I've got a lot going for me. So, you know, I figured, you know, given that, and I should be doing service first and then thinking about what can I do for me or for my family or whatever. So that was kind of my background for going into the military in the first place. But, you know, as a result of that, I focused on like, let me learn and understand and, you know, get a sense for how the country works. And like, I'm sure there's a lot wrong with it, but however we got here, it's not bad. Let me see how I can participate in improving it and making it better. So, you know, that was kind of my starting point. The fact that I get to work on all this cool stuff now, you know, full thumbs up. I'm a huge fan. I love it.
Right.
I keep, you know, trying to press and go after interesting projects and interesting categories, you know, trying to help people make things better. But yeah, been pretty lucky.
How many years you do in the Navy?
Like about 6 years. I did ROTC, so I owed two tours. I did a little bit more than that. I went to nuke school and did that stuff. But yeah, so.
And then the transition, right? A lot of our listeners are veterans or might be in, and they're like, hey, you know, the transition. We hear it all the time. Yeah. Like, how do I transition from military to civilian life? Well, you were a civilian. Mm-hmm. And you transition to the military. Yep. So first of all, you're successful at it. So you can do it again. Mm-hmm. And so what was it that made you transition into this field, may I?
Yeah. So I think the way that I kind of viewed coming out of the military was, you know, I had this sense that I wanted to have an impact and, you know, mm-hmm. drive the conversation and the technologies forward. But there were such huge gaps in my experience. Like, you know, junior officer in the Navy, you learn a lot. You get to do a lot of things, but you can also fill a ship with what I didn't know and what I thought I knew and really didn't. And, you know, coming out of that, I didn't know anything about finance. You know, I knew operations. I knew, you know, some form of leadership. I had to learn to lead people quickly and under duress. But, you know, I didn't have any idea how the finances worked. I didn't have any idea about a lot of the sort of the business theory behind things that I sort of guessed at or had like sort of a street level knowledge of. And so going in and saying, okay, maybe that's the next thing to do is do business development, sales, finance, just get, how does it work? What's the underpinning there? Right. And then being able to apply leadership and management and operations experience to that then gives you a pretty good baseline for, you know, learning the next thing, learning a new industry, learning a new jargon, you know, et cetera. Yep. And I think that honestly, I do a lot of mentorship for people transitioning out of the military. I've been a coach and mentor for over a decade doing that stuff. And by far the biggest problem people have is trying to describe how their experience in the military is relevant to different scenarios. And, you know, the mm-hmm. easiest, you know, trap people fall into, especially for like a guy that was a rifleman or something, is like, well, right. What kind of job am I going to have that's going to pay me to like carry a gun still? And you're like, sure, police officer, security, whatever, right? But like, it's kind of missing the point because even as like a junior rifleman, 10% of your job is like combat specific, right? Most of it is, you know, organization, you know, doing like small management, maintenance. You know, in the Navy, it's called, you know, preventative maintenance systems like PMS. And like, that is, you know, the day-to-day of every sailor, junior or senior. And like, most of that stuff translates to the civilian world, but you got to learn how to break it down into little building blocks so that you're going out of a 40-hour week, you know, 3 hours was shooting. The rest of it, relevant. And so helping people to sort of break that stuff down has been a huge, huge piece of how I've been doing mentorship in that category. And, you know, a lot of it helps people to sort of just transition into using different terminology, different phrases, mm-hmm. you know, recognizing that all of the sort of the three letter summaries you have for things don't apply. And it's probably going to get confusing because there's civilian or corporate jargon versions of those same three letters.
You can't
say
PMS.
Yeah, exactly.
I use the PMS and they're going to be like, what? Go to HR. You're like, no, I'm just trying to do preventative maintenance solutions.
Yeah.
So, you know, so you got to, I get that.
So that's a really interesting
that transition.
Yeah.
To get there, you know, and if somebody is in the military and they're transitioning, what's something that Exian Technologies might be looking for out of them? You know, are you looking mm-hmm. for all bachelor's, master's guys? Is there somebody out there that could? Can the chef apply? Is there a cook, you know, position, you know, because he could translate.
That's right. So we've had a bunch of transitioning folks come across. We've had an Air Force pilot. We had a Navy SEAL. We've had, I think, a Marine Corps rifleman. We had an IT guy. So, you know, it depends on the role you're hiring for, of course. Like we have some production technicians that don't require a college degree. We bring folks in and we help them sort of train up. And it's a fairly technical role, but you don't need, you know, a four-year degree for it. And so a lot of times that structure from being in the military is great for coming in and doing, especially operational things where you're like, all right, here's the process. And they go, got it. I can nail that, you know, day two. And then you begin to extract like who are the ones that can think on their feet and can, you know, operate with more vague guidance and, you know, high level objectives, and then they self-define their paths. And, you know, you start to figure out who can promote easily and who, you know, is better served to go to another place or whatever. And, you know, we try and help people figure that out.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
That's awesome. And I love the aspect of, like, you know, bringing someone over who maybe worked in, let's say, the ship's armory, okay, where they have to check in the guns all day and all the equipment, and they have to check it out. You know, you're like, how am I going to transition this into life? It's like, bro, inventory management, number one.
It's a lot,
You know? Like, you know, it doesn't have to be cleaning at all. You could be like, oh, I know how to keep inventory.
100%. Yeah, it's a direct
How many businesses have inventory?
Yeah, absolutely.
All of them, you know, So, I mean, there's always something out there, right? You just got to think outside. How can I apply this to this? When people ask me, hey, Rad, are you hiring at your airsoft shop?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I never say no. I never say no to the 14, the 12-year-old who's asking, can you hire me? I'm like, I won't say no because maybe that kid knows how to edit. So if they send me a resume and it looks good and it's got something on there, you know, we might reach out to you and say, hey, you want to do some side gigs or whatever, or but if you apply to the job and you are applying to be a manager of a department store and you put down that, you know, you can snipe real well.
You gotta
massage that for the person reading that resume. You gotta say, oh, I can pay attention to detail.
You gotta pull apart the common building blocks and say, you know, have I got all of the exact experience? No, but all of the building blocks, 80% overlap, and I can learn the other 20%.
Exactly. And if you give me a shot, I'll show you I can do it on the job. No problem. Yeah, exactly. So if you're a veteran out there and you're looking to transition, just do it. Just get it, get it going.
Absolutely.
Just apply. Apply yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and it's okay to fail. That's where the word success comes from, right? So every time I go to the gym, I know I'm going to go in there and fail because I'm going to push myself to failure so that hopefully the success of a longer heart rate or a better heart and no diabetes and, you know, all the other things
One step at a time.
Some weight.
You
know, nothing like learn. And also, I've just been boxing, you know, that's really what I've really found to be a mental cleanser. And so not only am I, you know, throwing the gloves at the gym, I'm clearing my head and I'm paying $100 a month to do this. You're like, where can you get a psychiatrist for that? You know, the coach comes over. He's like, yeah, Rad, 3-4-3, 3-4-3. You're like, yes, coach. It's just, yes, coach. You know, and that kind of environment, you know, where there's like that camaraderie and everybody's in there. You see, be a better, healthy you is all I'm trying to say. You know, I'm not perfect. I can only strive for perfection. And this is what striving for perfection looks like. Okay. Oh, see, now I'm glad Lily introduced us again to talk about this, because, you know, I really do care about Acapulco and all the people there. I really want that to be, you know, kind of brought to the forefront, because nobody's really talking about how hard Mexico did get hit.
Yeah.
And it is such a thing that, you know, she's been already, relating back and forth through emails with me so much. I just wanted to just embarrass her a little more, Lily, just throw her name out there again. So just to make her smile when she watches this.
Yep.
I'm happy to know that folks like yourself, Ben, are out there trying to do the right thing with these new modern technologies that, you know, are going to just keep going and going and going and going. And you're the building blocks of this. You guys go to these conventions and see everything else that's going to be happening. So, I mean, holy cow, man. I can't wait for the movie you're going to write.
Yep, fingers crossed. I'll get that ghostwriter moving.
Oh, seriously, right? Yeah, bro, because the things that you're dealing with, I mean, you could bring that into a film. I don't know, whether you're filming the movie with it or it's about what you're doing.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, dude. Art to life, dude. Let me, okay, now I ask my folks that come on the show if they've had any type of an instance, and your Navy. Mm-hmm. Now, what kind of a ship were you on when you first went out, or what have you ever had? Mm-hmm. Here's my question. Have you ever had that I'm going to Davy Jones's locker moment because of the Mother Nature's like, you're screwed today?
I had a few times where it was pretty dicey. I led small boat boarding teams doing VBSS, or at the time it was called VBSS. I think it's called something different now, but it was
Board Search and Seizure.
Yeah. And so
visit boards. Okay.
One of the ships we boarded was, I want to say it was a Russian flagged ship that had maybe been smuggling something. And the master on board was like a complete caricature. Like, you could not have created a more made for movie caricature of like a Russian captain. It was just like holding a half empty bottle.
This guy, he was like, what do you want?
100%. Just like a Russian mobster who decided to captain a ship, like half empty bottle of vodka, like waving a pistol around. Like, we really thought out of just, you know, drunkenness, he was going to start shooting. And so we went and secured the ship. We got all the crew and they were totally fine. They were like, yeah, understood. We know what's going on here. So they were chilling down in the salon, but you know, we were sort of having this face off with this guy, and it was me and the assistant boarding officer who, you know, thank God was like a super experienced senior enlisted chief petty officer that, you know, had a lot of experience here. And so me, 22-year-old, you know, junior officer, or 23, I guess, at the time. But, you know, I think pretty decent at the job, but nowhere near the experience that, you know, the senior enlisted chief had. And he and I both sort of like were able to talk this guy down, but it was a pretty wild experience. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably the closest I've ever come to someone like, you know, eyes in my eyes, like something might go here. It was pretty weird.
Holy cow. Yeah, no, that is. Yeah. You're just like, and thank goodness for your senior enlisted chief, right?
100%. Yeah. He talked the guy down like,
see, chief.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't have succeeded without him around.
The officer respects the chief. Chief.
Yeah. Can't do anything without the Chiefs. Come on.
Anything without the Chiefs. I'm just putting that out there.
Yep.
And I just want them back there with their mugs that are stained with black coffee. Yeah. Don't ever wash that mug.
Yeah.
Never wash their mug.
Yep. No. Sitting in the goat locker going,
damn
right.
It's got flavor in it. Damn right. That's right. It's the Chiefs. Every single one of me is the Chiefs.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
What'd you exit out of the Navy as? You went in as an ensign? Is that how it starts out?
Or? Yeah, I came in as an ensign. I left as a lieutenant, so an O3. And then, made my transition from there. So, yeah.
And have you almost ever sunk?
We were in some pretty heavy seas off of San Francisco, mm-hmm. actually, where this is actually a mm-hmm. terrible story. We weren't really, really in danger, but it was the worst I've ever felt at sea, where it was a new moon, yes. So no visual horizon, just total darkness. And we were going directly into pretty high seas. It was like at 20 foot, maybe 25 foot swells. So like, and I was on a cruiser, so it was a small enough ship that, you go up over top of that wave and you crest and then the bottom drops out. And I was on the mid-watch from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. And of course they'd served Mongolian barbecue that night. So everyone was just throwing up nonstop, but you go up, you ride the crest of the wave, no visual horizon, and you're just waiting for it. And then bottom drops out and you literally are in free fall for, 1 or 2 seconds. Then you slam, hit the deck because it was like a, 15, 20 foot drop. And everyone just like hanging on. And, the ships are built for that. So it's not like you're in real danger, but that felt pretty wild. I've definitely never felt worse, like seasick than I have at that time. And that was just shitty.
Respect for Mother Nature. You respect the sea. Yeah. 100%. Huh?
Yeah.
Holy cow. Yeah. I was talking to a salty dog the other day, and I was interviewing him and, he said that, he was in a 4-day typhoon off the coast of Nam on a destroyer he was about to go down.
Yeah.
But they lived. He said out of everybody on the crew, only three were eating.
Yeah. I can totally see that. Yeah.
That's got to be what you're talking about. Holy cow. Holy cow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Navy, I decided on the Air Force. My dad was a Green Beret and mm-hmm. former Navy himself. Mm-hmm. Right. But now that I think about the Navy today as a 45-year-old, 46-year-old dad, mm-hmm. I'm like, yarr. That sounds just you're playing with the ocean, dude. It's like these ships seem so big when they're ported, but once you're out into the vastness of the ocean, mm-hmm. you're just like a toothpick.
Yeah, absolutely. It's absurd. Oh.
It is. It's amazing the technology to float on water mm-hmm. and dive down with ballast on submarines and just... The Navy is badass. I'm just going to say that right now. United States Navy and all you sailors are awesome. Okay. I just want to shout out to that. No doubt. That was right inside my heart. I feel it all tingling, dude. Oh, man. Jeez. Because I only get to see what like Tom Hanks shows us on the movies or kind of crazy, top 10, sea freighters crossing into the water. But, bro, if I can only imagine, though, you're a captain with your mug and you're just like, just send it. Sir, 5,000 men on board. Roger. Full speed ahead. You'll see. Turn into it. You'll see. Turn into it. But sir, just do it.
Yep. Yeah. There's some salty guys there that run the ships.
There is. Did you ever have what they call a polywog moment?
Yeah. So I did the shellback ceremony when we crossed the equator and got my card and everything. So it was an interesting.
Were you the baby that they had to kiss, or is that what I heard? Is that what I hear? Were you that, or
so I was?
Or were you holding your coffee mug, just like looking good, boys?
No, good. I got shellacked pretty well. I think our at that point, when was this? This must have been 2002, maybe. So it was after my first deployment, but like still just post 9/11. So I think at that point it was very much like they had started removing some of the worst parts of the ceremony, but it was still not very comfortable. And so still some pain and discomfort involved, but it wasn't probably what, you know, you would have gone through in like the Vietnam era, where I think you really just got like the
car. Oh yeah, that's what I've heard. That's why I heard the story from, man. Yeah. He's like, there was no weight management.
Yeah.
So they had the biggest guy get greased up on his belly.
Oh man.
And they all had to like kiss his belly with the grease from the takeoff of the aircraft carrier, the shot put thing.
Yeah.
Holy cow, dude.
Yeah.
You, the Navy, man. That's why it's so cool world. Though.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You know, I would probably have so much tattoos, dude. I'd be like, I've been across the equator. I've returned home 15 times.
Yep.
I have all these birds on me.
Well, most of the guys get.
Did you get tatted
first.
Up with anything?
I didn't. I came pretty close a couple times, but I got usually a senior officer would intervene and be like, do you really think that's a good idea? I'm like, yes. And they're like, no. Get back in the shit.
No. So. Yeah, that'd be like my dad talking to me. Are you sure you want to do that? You sure about that? You sure about that? Yeah. No.
Yep.
Well, listen, I've had you for almost just about an hour of our time, and you've been a really wonderful guest to come back. And I'm glad that we were able to talk about, you know, the positive services that you guys are providing to people who need it, like in Acapulco, right? And in other war-torn areas. And I'm sure, you know, to wind it down, I want to know, do you feel that you'll use your stuff in the greater stuff that's going on, like over in Gaza? Is that something that's, you know,
it's a good question. I think there's still a lot of people figuring out how and where to use systems on the battlefield. General, the US and allies have been a little slower to use very AI driven stuff. It's been a lot of adoption on the Russian side, the Turkish side, Chinese side. And so I don't really know what the role is for like our system specifically. I think you're going to see a lot of AI driven technologies enter the battlefield shortly, driven by a lot of the, you know, the war innovation that's happening, especially around Ukraine, Russia right now. I think, you know, you're seeing Shield AI and you're seeing Anduril and you're seeing Skydio sort of playing in those worlds as well from those are like a cheaper system side. And I mean, Anduril is using loitering munitions and that sort of thing, like, you know, actual basically drones with explosives on them. And so I think there's a lot of different categories that are going to start being utilized. I think where you're going to see technologies like ours the most is on logistics and ISR and sort of getting a better sense for what's happening on the battlefield and, you know, trying to make sure that we're not putting people into the most dangerous parts. And, you know, being more effective when we do.
And ISR, correct me, it's International Search and Rescue, right?
This is a great example. So in this case, it's Intelligence, Surveillance, Reconnaissance. And so it's the idea of trying to get a better sense of the battlefield from an intel perspective.
All right, cool. I'm glad you corrected me. I can't always be right.
Nope.
That's for you, Dad, who sits on the mantle right over there on the fireplace on every one of these shows, looking over my shoulder, going, that's right, that's right. Okay, well, you know, the best place to go and check out more about Exian Technologies is exiantechnologies.com. You know, and if you want to learn more or try to put yourself out there and send a resume because you have what it takes to work with Ben and his crew, then do that and he'll let you know. And do you have anything you want to say in the last parting words before I close out the show?
No, I appreciate the time here. Like you alluded to before, you know, it's a huge shame about the stuff that happened down in Acapulco. And unfortunately, it won't be the last of, you know, major disasters that happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you are interested and want to help in those kind of scenarios, go for the aid organizations. They're going to be better at coordinating getting the stuff in the right way, in the right order with coordination than, you know, sort of a grassroots thing a lot of times. So, you know, that would be my recommendation. Try and find the right orgs that are practiced at getting things in there.
That are already ready to go. Like they've already grassrooted themselves and they're just like, they need you to supply that extra manpower to them versus you trying to start from the ground up.
Right.
You know, I get that. Hey, Well, what a wonderful show. It's been a pleasure. I want to give a shout out to Lily for arranging everything. And I want to thank Ben Williams, former Navy officer, surface warfare, humanitarian, and just a really nice, cool dude that just wants to talk about cool stuff like Pollywog. Okay. I just want to say thanks on behalf of Brandon Webb, former Navy SEAL from the Navy. Give him a shout out. Go buy his book for the holidays. Any of them, go look up Brandon Webb. And I'm also on all the Audible for most of the books. So I'm the voice of Finn. Go check out Chief Finn. And I want to say the bookstore. Don't forget that we have softrep.com/book-club and the merch. And on behalf of Ben Williams and Lily, this is Rad saying peace.
You've been listening to Soft Rep Radio.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.